Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Andrew Hunneke. Our guest this week is Missouri Republican Congressman Jason Smith, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. He joins us to talk ag trade and ag taxes as we get closer to the election. But first, here's this week's headlines. A potential upcoming port strike could cause some serious headaches for farmers. Members of the International Longshoremen's Union are expected to strike as early as October 1st. Negotiations between them and the United States Maritime Alliance are at a deadlock. Union leaders say they are not satisfied with the alliance's latest offer of increased pay, employer retirement contributions, and starting salaries. Goods that are shipped in steel containers, like frozen meats, will be impacted the most by the potential strike. Leaders of the Senate and House Ag Committees are still optimistic a farm bill could be passed before the end of the year. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow told reporters there's still work to be done, but there's good conversations happening. Despite the optimism, House Ag Chair Glenn Thompson's bill still has a funding issue. The bill is $33 billion short of being fully funded. Both Thompson and Senate Ag Ranking Member John Bozeman have called for a bill to be passed this year, but both say the bill needs some sort of supplemental assistance for the recent downturn in commodity markets. And finally, a new report says revoking China's favorable trade status would backfire on the U.S. economy and hurt American agriculture. According to the Peterson Institute for International Economics, American tariffs on Chinese goods would rise by about 38% if the United States would end permanent normal trade relations with China. The report goes on to say projected losses to American agriculture and manufacturing goods would nearly double if China were to retaliate against U.S. exports. The report estimates Chinese retaliation would result in more than $70 billion in agricultural losses between 2025 and 2028. Jason Smith is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. We asked him if farm groups should be worried about former President Trump possibly starting another trade war that could hurt American exports if he's elected.
I think you should just look at history. When President Trump was in office, he was very aggressive, and his administration was aggressive in opening up new agriculture markets throughout the world, whether it was China, whether it was Japan. He tried early negotiations with Europe and also some countries such as Kenya. Of course, he pushed back on China's unfair practices with us. But guess what? We had a $5 billion agriculture surplus while he was president. Under Biden's watch, we're close to a $32 billion agriculture trade deficit. And why is that? We have an administration that is out to lunch that is not openly trying to open up more markets for our farmers and our manufacturers.
President Trump has said that raising tariffs could offset the cost of new tax cuts or new forms of spending. What's your take on that idea?
I think whenever you look at more than $4.6 trillion worth of taxes expiring, if Congress does nothing, every American will face a tax increase. And so we need to address that. And we're going to have to look at ways to address it because we also have $35 trillion worth of debt. So we got a lot of work to do, but we'll be able to get it done, which of course we won't know exactly how we can do it until after the election and we know who the players are on the field.
Are we going to see any new free trade deals with the next administration that could boost ag exports? And kind of a two-parter for you here. What countries are the best prospects?
Well, first off, under a Trump presidency, you can look back what he attempted to do while he was president. For one, he completely renewed NAFTA and made it USMCA, which became one of the most bipartisan trade agreements in the history of Congress with our two leading trading partners, Mexico and Canada. That was done under President Trump. There was also the early negotiations with Europe and the United Kingdom, and also Kenya to open up trade agreements and try to eliminate these non-trade tariff barriers that the ag industry is facing all the time with with other nations. Unfortunately, the Biden administration, which you could say the Biden-Harris administration, since the vice president is part of it, they have done absolutely nothing on trade. So much to the extent that career bureaucrats at USTR has been exiting. They've been bored and finding new jobs. That's a problem. And so we need an administration that's going to be proactive. They wake up every day figuring out, how can we help the American farmer? How can we help the American manufacturer? And how can we protect the American worker?
We'll be right back with more from Congressman Jason Smith right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Biodiesel is clearly the lowest cost, fastest to market product. If we started to make a change to low blends to high blends today, we're going to impact clean air right now instead of waiting for a new technology. We are for innovation. So let's innovate. I don't know what's coming 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, but I know today our fuels can clean the air.
Welcome back. Tax policy is going to be a big issue next year as several provisions in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire at the end of 2025. We asked Ways and Means Committee Chairman Congressman Jason Smith what's at stake for farmers and rural America.
You know, we're looking at the entire tax code. I've set up 10 tax teams. They have had over 90 site visits, meetings with stakeholders. They have visited 17 different states to hear from real farmers, real small business owners, real American workers, instead of just what's in the bubble of Washington, D.C., to look at what tax policy works the best for real America. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Like you said, there are $4.6 trillion worth of tax expirations. We're going to see the death tax slashed in half. We're going to see every individual tax bracket increase. We're going to see the guaranteed deduction, which 91% of Americans used to file their taxes, be slashed in half. And then we're going to see the small business deduction, which is a 20% deduction for all partnerships, LLCs, pass-throughs, subchapter S's, which the majority of farmers are. That's going to disappear if Congress does not act. Unfortunately, you have Vice President Harris, who wants to completely repeal the Trump tax cuts. So that means she's not supportive of those tax policies.
I do want to stick with Vice President Harris. She has promised not to raise taxes on anyone making more than $400,000 a year. What is wrong with doing that?
I think that it's not truthful, for one. For 4 years, the Biden-Harris administration has said that they will not raise taxes on people making less than $400,000 a year. And guess what? They have. Every listener, every person watching this, has seen an increase of 20.3% under Biden-Harris's watch in every item that they put on their table, any clothes that they put on their back, any energy that they put in their car, because inflation's gone up 20.3% because of their reckless spending. They added more than $10 trillion of spending on top of just funding government. That's led to a $35 trillion deficit. That led to an inflation crisis. The American Rescue Plan, which Vice President Harris was the tie-breaking vote in, they added a provision of 1099-K reporting. That means that anyone who makes a payment of more than $600 on their PayPal account or their Venmo, guess what? They're going to get a W-2 form, and they're going to be watched whether they sold a couch to a neighbor or concert tickets to a friend. They're going to have to pay taxes on that. That affects 90% of the people making less than $200,000 a year.
One last question before we let you go. The federal debt is still growing. It's something that Republicans have been very vocal about. Will that make it harder to extend all these expiring tax cuts next year?
What we have in this country is not a revenue problem. We've seen record revenues at almost $5 trillion come into the United States. And if you look at revenue towards GDP, it has stayed at 17.2%, which is the average over the last decade. Unfortunately, spending compared to the GDP has increased from 20% to 26% in the Biden-Harris administration. Why is that? Because they added an additional $10 trillion of spending on top of just funding government, which led to the 20% inflation that I mentioned, which led to interest rates being the highest they've been in 23 years, which has resulted in the very poor economy that we're currently residing in.
Congressman Smith, thank you so much for making some time for us today.
It's great to be with you.
We'll be right back with our panel discussion, but first, Lydia Johnson has a deeper look at declining American ag exports to China in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Exports to China have been an especially hot topic in Washington. Lawmakers want to crack down on Chinese investments in the U.S., and former President Trump is promising stiff new tariffs on Chinese exports. President Biden has already announced that he's raising tariffs on some Chinese exports. Against that backdrop, U.S. agricultural exports to China are on the decline. China was our top export market as recently as fiscal 2023. But our sales to China have dropped since then, and China is also falling behind Mexico and Canada as an export market for U.S. agricultural goods. USDA economists estimate that China will buy $24 billion worth of U.S. ag products in the fiscal year that starts October 1st, down from $27 billion for the current fiscal year, and down from nearly $34 billion in fiscal year 2023. Exports to Mexico and Canada are expected to remain relatively flat at around $29 billion to each of those countries. By the way, the U.S. continues to have an ag trade deficit, which is expected to grow to $42.5 billion for fiscal 2025. There are a number of reasons for the deficit, including the drop in commodity prices, but also the American appetite for imported fruits and vegetables, and products like coffee and cocoa. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together, we celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where this week's panel is going to focus on taxes. Excited to be joined this week by Jim Richards with Cornerstone Government Affairs and Christine Tidgren from Iowa State University. And Christine, I wanted to start with you first. Several provisions in the Tax Cuts and Job Act are set to expire at the end of next year. What provisions are most at risk in your view?
Well, I think that the tax rates going up is important to agriculture. And unless Congress extends the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we're going to have people who are currently in the 24% tax bracket jumping up to the 33% tax bracket. And some of these producers are making less than $300,000. So that's just generally tax rates going up is a big risk. Also, we have had this 199A deduction. It's a 20% deduction that's been very important for agriculture, for anyone who's a sole proprietor or a pass-through business. And that is definitely at risk. And there's also a provision that's related that was put in place for agricultural cooperatives, that we've had a DPAT deduction in place for many years. And when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act came in, they redid the DPAD to go in line with the 199A deduction. And both of those provisions are at risk of disappearing. And that would be a huge disadvantage for both farmers and agricultural cooperatives. And finally, I'd say farmers are concerned about the estate and gift tax being the exemption being cut in half. Although currently not many farmers are subject to it, if you cut that in half with the price of land that's out there right now, most people not planning to sell their assets but continue to farm, it's always a concern if you see a lower exemption.
And I would like to get both of your guys' thoughts on the next question. I'll start with you first, Christine. Vice President Harris has promised not to raise taxes on anyone making more than $400,000 a year. What would that mean for agriculture?
Well, it would help, but agricultural income is very cyclical. So you might have one year where you make higher than $400,000, and you might have another year where you have $100,000. So agricultural producers are different than the average taxpayer that might just have a consistent income throughout. And we have some provisions like farm income averaging, which can help with that, but a set income level isn't necessarily a good way to go when it comes to agriculture and protecting them with respect to tax rates. It would help some, but of course we have to have a Congress that will agree to extend those lower tax rates. So there has to be action that happens by Congress, or by default, people making less than $400,000 are going to see significantly higher tax rates.
And Jim, your thoughts as well, sir?
The real question on all of this discussion is elections and their consequences. If Trump wins the White House back, it's an entirely different approach on TCJA, taxes, farm bill, et cetera. If Vice President Harris takes it over and one or both bodies, say the Senate stays Democrat, which is very, very unlikely, House is a difficult turn for him, but if she wins the presidency, it's within reach. That 400, there's more and more of our production is larger producers, particularly the Title I guys. And there's going to be a lot of people that at the end of the day, if Vice President Harris is in charge with a Democrat unified legislature, that they're probably going to have a big impact if they're able to deliver on that, likely through the reconciliation process. On the Republican side, I know for a fact, evidently you're going to have Jason Smith, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, on later on today. He's working tirelessly on trying to get the bill that was passed by the House earlier this year that is stalled in the Senate done, because not only is he an advocate for the policies, it needs to be done by the end of the year because it has a huge impact on the scoring and the funding available. $780 billion, I think, is the number, to rewrite TCJA and make changes, do additional tax cuts, however you want to look at it. So there's lots of things to take place between now and then, and go back to where we started, elections have consequences.
We'll be right back with more of our panel discussion right after this.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Biodiesel is clearly the lowest cost, fastest to market product. If we started to make a change to low blends to high blends today, we're going to impact clean air right now instead of waiting for a new technology. We are for innovation. So let's innovate. I don't know what's coming 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, but I know today our fuels can clean the air.
Welcome back. Former President Trump has proposed raising tariffs to offset new tax cuts for Americans. We asked Jim Richards from Cornerstone Government Affairs if this idea is realistic.
President Trump is consistent in his advocacy for tariffs. It's not going anywhere with if President Trump wins, but there's a lot of ramifications, and I think there's a lot of questions that would have to be answered within the House and Senate Republican conferences as to where that would head and how much of it would be viable, particularly impactful on the ag sector, on both on exports and retaliation, and on imports, obviously. So there are some positives potentially there, but you got to look at the whole picture.
One last question for you, Jim. Which tax provisions do you think are most at risk if Democrats win control of the White House and Congress, or if there's divided control after this election?
Yeah, that's a good question. If they win the White House, if they're unified, obviously the top rate with the 400,000 cap is a real issue there. And when you run the numbers on how that actually implements itself, that could end up having effective rates of almost 50% for the higher earners. So it's a huge, huge impact. Cap gains and corporate taxes are very clearly a target. And you look at what's happened to cap gains over the last 20 years and how, depending on who's in charge, the rate goes down, the rate goes up. And then you look at the receipts. And empirically, you'll see receipts rise in the latter part of the reduction because people are investing and moving and taking their profits out. And there's less of an incentive to take the profits out. Therefore, there's less incentive to pay taxes. But that's the Republican version of it, which obviously I have a bias towards. So those are the three that I'd put at the top of the list in a Harris administration and a Democrat Congress.
And Christine, I'd like to go ahead and wrap with you. The expiration of these tax provisions has to be creating a lot of uncertainty out in farm country. What does that mean for the folks that you work with?
Well, it means that right now, as they're making decisions, even for this tax year, they're sort of running the odds of will taxes be higher in a year and a half from now. Right now, it kind of looks like the odds are that they might be. And so that makes decisions about whether or not you buy particular equipment or how you depreciate that equipment or what type of expensing you do, that type of thing. Also, as Jim mentioned, entity choice is very important for farm businesses. And if you're sitting there wondering if the pass-through deduction of 20% is still going to be available, you might start to wonder, well, would it be worthwhile to become a corporation? But then you look and you say, well, there are some proposals out there to also raise the taxes on corporations as well. So there's a lot of uncertainty. It just means that when you make decisions, you just have to sort of run a risk analysis and do the best that you can.
Certainly a lot to be paying forward here as we move through to the election and everything else that's coming up. Jim and Christine, thank you both for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Lydia Johnson dives into differing food insecurity rates by state in this week's Map It Out.
Food insecurity rates varied from about 3% to nearly 20% by state from 2021 to 2023, according to data from the USDA Economic Research Service. Food insecurity is defined as when a household cannot get enough food due to a lack of money or other resources. The national average was 12.2% during this three-year period. The South, including Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, experienced the highest rates of food insecurity, as shown in dark green. Arkansas saw the highest three-year average, with nearly 20% of the state's population being food insecure. Gray-colored states saw below-average food insecurity. Pockets in the upper Midwest, including Iowa, Minnesota, and the Dakotas, saw rates as low as 3%. A handful of states in the Northeast also experienced low food insecurity rates, ranging from 3 to 7% in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and New Jersey. The prevalence of state-level food security depends on a combination of household characteristics like income, employment rates, and household structure, as well as state-level characteristics like average wages, cost of housing, food assistance program participation, and tax policies. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for a busy upcoming week. Both chambers of Congress will remain in session. Next week is the final week both chambers will be in session before breaking for the November election. USDA's monthly agricultural prices report comes out Friday. And finally, next week is the Women in Agribusiness Summit in Denver, Colorado. My colleague Lydia Johnson will host a special show from the event. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Andrew Hunneke. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is agripulse.com.